by Satanic International Network. You're listening to The Ooze.
Upon decaying every foul wicked spirit in the host, The Ooze.
20 minutes, Daniel Rose on The Ooze, spread out.
On The Ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial crime
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
It's that time again, and you are listening to The Ooze Outbreak with your hosts, T.C. Downey and Jason Sorrell. And tonight we're going to be talking about the U.S. education system, basically. We're going to be talking about things we've been lied to about our teachers and lies they told us in school. And I got a big, long list of lies that have been told or have been perpetuated by the education system to students over the years. But what we're mainly focusing on is just reinforcing the idea that our public system of education is geared towards training students to be laborers, where it used to be you were training students to think, you were training students to use their minds to accomplish things and to move towards certain goals, and now it's just making sure that everybody falls within the same set of values and is predictable and manageable. So before we get into all that, TC, how you doing tonight, man?
Not bad, man, not bad. I'm a little bit of a sourpuss tonight, so hopefully I don't drag the party down. But I kind of wanted to actually tap on things, man, because I think even back in the day when they were teaching us how to think in a school, they were still ultimately preparing us to be able to do the task with this to do later. I think it kind of goes into my theory about the others, the ones that aren't the grays, but I'll tell you about that more later.
Well, definitely. When you look at the old schooling system, the old education system before the 1950s, when they actually put together the educational boards and actually established that the intent is not to create men of letters, but to create the next workforce, the next labor force for our country. Even way back when, there were certain values that were pushed. There were certain theories that were expressed. But there was also a need for the students to learn to think for themselves, where now it's just really route memorization of certain details and certain facts. And then, if you know what to do, if your math is this good and you can read to this level and you can know this much about science and culture, well, then you're ready to flip burgers at McDonald's. So, but totally, even way back when, I mean, there's a limited set of parameters. It's just, I would rather, if you're gonna have an education, I'd rather it be something where your actual thought process was developed, where your ability to think was tapped into, and not so much just, here, remember this shit, and in 12 years we'll cut you loose. So, the way I thought we'd do this. First of all, if you folks want to call in and talk about your educational experiences, your friends in the U.S. education system, if you're in the United States, or your U.S. or your education system, wherever the hell you're from, the phone number is 347-989-1371. We got a full boat in the chat room, so we appreciate all you guys coming out and checking out the show. What I thought I would do is I would just go through, I've got a list here, I've got a pretty extensive list of facts of different things that have been perpetuated by our educators, by our teachers, and I just want to see how many people out there have heard, first of all, these different little tidbits, and how many people know whether or not they're true or false. So we're going to be kind of watching the chat room, and that just makes the show go a little bit longer. So before we get into that, I don't know, anything you want to talk about before we roll into it in regards to the news or anything?
Actually, yeah, kind of, sort of. I don't know. I guess it was kind of strange tonight because I was talking to Nicole about, trying to actually recall some things in my, scholastic training that I actually remember later on finding out was wrong, and I'm absolutely certain that there were probably thousands of them, but I can't really pinpoint it on it. At the same time, she was kind of watching this UFO documentary, and I kind of looked up, and we got to thinking about it. Well, I got to thinking about it, and I was thinking to myself, well, you know, it's been almost 100 years that we've been getting these close encounters and these UFO sightings, and you know, that 100 years, not necessarily that it has been happening, but since it's been being at least globally documented, you know. So I got to thinking about, well, maybe this is just some jargon lie or bullshit that they're feeding us about these UFOs. And then you get to thinking about it, well, how do we know that they're not feeding us bullshit about everything? And so that's why I guess it's really going to be interesting tonight to see how many of those things that you mentioned I recall. So,
right on, right. And that's, and this is the thing we're trying, I think, again, we're trying to highlight that there's definitely an agenda in our system of education. There's, you know, there's a, whatever philosophy rules the day, politically or socially or whatever, that tends to be what's pushed in our schools, whether it's right or wrong. It's not think for yourself. It's not think about these different ideas and come to your own conclusions. It's generally, this is what's right, and this is what you should accept as truth. So I guess the only thing I wanted to bring up, to toot my own horn or whatever, we got a new banner on the Ooze webpage. Somebody designed that damn thing.
Yeah.
But it's caricatures. It's caricatures of the four guys from the Ooze, the four hosts, and everybody's letting me know that they really dig the caricatures and everything, and it was pretty cool doing it, and a lot of fun trying to come up with these little symbols in the background to represent the different guys and, you know, how I was kind of hit or miss. But check that out, and I like all the, you know, all the comments I've gotten so far that have talked about how, you know, they like them or whatever, you know, thank you very much, so definitely check that shit out. Other than that, we're looking forward to here in Austin, Texas, on Walpurgisnacht. There's a small group of us getting together, and we're going to line up the barbecue or the grill, and we're starting to accumulate bottles of different kinds of alcohol here to drink, whether it's going to be shots or mixed drinks or beers or whatever. And we're going to get together, and we're going to kind of bullshit. We're just going to kind of hang out, listen to tunes and whatever, and there's been some discussion about, you know, maybe making this a regular thing or, you know, working something up from there. So I'm kind of excited about that. And I'll be going on in about 2 weeks. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I, you know, and the inspiration for this is the Satanic International Network, who is a sponsor of the Ooze. Zach decided he wanted to reinstitute the whole grotto system that kind of the Church of Satan kind of dropped the ball on. And he's got a gathering section on the website. So if you actually want to meet Satanists or see if there's Satanists in the Satanic International Network in your area, you can actually go to Satanic International Network. It's www.satanicinternationalnetwork.com. You can go to the website and you can click on, I think it's gatherings or something like that, and you can actually see if there, you know, there are different Satanist groups set up through the Satanic International Network representing a certain geographical area. And folks are posting on there, whether it's just, hey, I'm going to be at such and such festival or such and such concert or such and such club this weekend. If you want to, you know, hang out, give me a call or meet me there or whatever. So really kind of cool that somebody's actually putting down the groundwork to get, not just doing shit on the internet, you know, where most of us live our lives, but actually getting it out there and into the real world to do things and interact and hopefully meet some cool people. So that's definitely cool. So let's get into this, I guess. All right, so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to read basically a fact that is that's pushed by the, you know, the educational system, you know, the authorities, whoever, our educators. Things that we think are true or we've been told are true, and I'm going to see, first of all, how many people have been told this, you know, if you've been told this, and if you think it's true, if it's truth or if you've been lied to in regards to this. I'm going to start off with an easy one. Drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes will stunt your growth.
Now, I'm gonna call that bullshit.
Well, I've been told this one all my life, but here's the thing, man. Back when I was in junior high, there was this little honey, man. She was this little blonde, you know. She kind of peaked early. She was small, man. She was really small, but had these huge tits, okay? And it was just like, you know, these tits would be like B cups or whatever on a regular size woman, but on her they were like a C or D. They were, you know, they were that big and she was that small and everything. But man, she smoked and she's drinking and she was, I think at the time probably like, you know, 13, you know, some shit like that. And so it's like, you know, looking at her, it's like, well, maybe the cigarettes and the coffee, you know, kept her small, you know. I don't know. So. We're looking at the chat room right now, and we're seeing, okay, cigarettes and coffee. If you're a student, if you're a teen or whatever, if you're drinking cigarettes and coffee, it always comes down to the tits. That's fucking right. Cigarettes and coffee, does it stunt your growth? Is that some truth, or were we being lied to? So, I'll give it another minute, and then I'll put it out there. And Zach does have a big fucking head.
Yes, he does. Funny, when I did
all
that...
All right, the fucking... Go ahead.
I was going to say, when I did that other banner for the actual Ooze page on Satanic International Network, Zach was like, how come everybody else's head's disproportional and mine's not?
Why is his head not proportional? This is the fucked up thing with those caricatures. This is what's fucked up. I started with actual. I had to dig and find some actual photographs. Which anybody who's interested, Google. What's that?
Not the banner that you drew. Not the banner that you drew. The, you know the one
oh.
I did. The one that says use your big head.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. He was trying to figure out why it wasn't disproportionate. The rest of our heads were obviously disproportionate.
Right. Or just because it's objects in the mirror may be larger than they appear, kind of thing. You know, it's just so big.
Right. Exactly. That's the
exact right. Guys, they're so big.
No, but.
What I was gonna say, dude. Google T.C. Downey and images, and you will see a shocking photo dealing with his corporate life. I just find it funny as fuck, man. I look at it every morning and get a little giggle. T.C. Suit and tie, all clean, sleep shaven and everything else. Awesome.
Right on. That was a long time ago, man.
So, yeah, I know, but, yeah, that's just crazy. But, anyways, cigarettes and coffee will not stunt your growth. As a matter of fact, cigarettes and coffee may actually stimulate your growth. Caffeine is a stimulant, nicotine. That stuff will actually, you know, increase the brain activity. The caffeine will at least increase the brain activity. So those things can actually, you know, the damage you're doing to yourself smoking with caffeine, the body works then to compensate for that damage, and you may actually grow faster. So there you go on the cigarettes and caffeine. I'm sure everybody's heard that shit.
Right on.
So, let me go to another one. Let's see here. Okay. Only two wars have ever been fought on U.S. soil. Okay. Only two wars have ever been fought on U.S. soil. And I don't count anything pre-U.S. So you don't count, you know, you don't count the French and Indian War. You don't count that, you know, the bridge between the British and the French. You don't count the Texas Revolution, because Texas wasn't part of the United States. So the fact is, two wars have only ever been fought on U.S. soil. Is that a true damn thing, or is that bullshit? Is that something your teachers have lied to you about?
I don't know.
Well, this is the thing, and what they're trying to tell you is that, you know, we're insulated as a country, or we're just so fucking great as a country that war just doesn't happen in our society, that we don't have to deal with that shit coming over to where we're at. And it, you know, either supports or it's against our foreign policy. either we're insulated and that's why we don't have any fucking wars, is because we go around bullying other countries, or we're just so badass that when we need to fucking fight, we go to someplace else to fight. We don't have to worry about this shit coming to our borders and everything. So get a lot of, okay, lies. So everybody's saying it's a lie. It is, in fact, a lie, okay? Because whenever somebody says there's a two wars fought in this country, on this soil, they're pointing to the Revolutionary War and they're pointing to our own Civil War. When, in fact, there was the War of 1812,
right.
And World War II was fought on our soil. Hawaii was bombed, so technically World War II occurred on U.S. soil.
Right, and if you really wanted to get even more technical, we've been fighting the war on drugs for, I don't know, at least since Ronald Reagan years, right?
There you go. There you go. So you got that war. You got the U.S.-Mexico border war that's going on right now. They don't want to call it a war, but there's that war going on right now. But usually what they're trying to do is they're either trying to whoop-whoop the patriotism of the U.S., which is all fine and good, or they're trying to, you know, make a big deal out of our foreign policy. So I saw everybody in the chat room was saying lies. All right, so let me dig in my bag here. I need to go a little bit deeper, a little bit harder. Okay, let's see. Paul Revere rode out single-handedly to warn of the British invasion. So that was all on Paul Revere. Everybody knows the poem by, I think, Longfellow. Paul Revere rides out and, you know, two bells by sea, one bell by land or some such shit. Paul Revere, man, was the man. He went out and he warned the British colonies, the U.S. colonies, in one single night of the British invasion. True or false? Is it a true damn thing that Paul Revere did that shit, or is that a bunch of lies?
If I remember right, that's bullshit.
I've seen, you know, all the stories, though, man. Paul Revere, he got out there, you know, whenever they do the cartoons or whatever, it's only Paul Revere riding out there. The Paul Revere is the man, you know, and those little fucking states, man, all those little bullshit states, New York, Maine, Vermont, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, man, they're all right there. They're all within a drive of each other, you know, so let's see.
Yeah, I believe that one's bullshit if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Kenneth Tabor's come up here. He said there were two other men. There were three men riding out that night, including Paul Revere. That warned other people, and by the end of the evening, there were up to 40 or more riders riding around. So it was not Paul Revere by himself. Right, it was, you got his two other riders that are never mentioned in history, and eventually by the end of the night, they had 40 riders out warning of the British invasion. So something you're not told about the American history. And this is American history, by the way. History in general is where you really get the facts plumbed. You really don't get the entire picture. And it's a shame, in my opinion, because it really is, there really is an agenda. When you're talking about math, usually there's a hard math, and you don't get into other mathematic theories, mathematic philosophy, until you take, you know, some serious college math. So with basic math, there is a lot of shit that you're told that that's untrue. Although, I had an algebra teacher that actually put this fact out, okay? I went to a pretty rural school in Indiana, in Monroeville, my high school year, and I was in trig, and we had this teacher, his name was Mr. Hyman, I shit you not, his name is Mr. Hyman, and Mr. Hyman was a big Boilermaker, big Purdue fan and everything else, and really, you know, really sharp as far as, you know, math and shit like that was concerned. But he was also willing to go with any fucking scientific theory of the day or any little bullshit, you know, thing that he heard about science or whatever. True or not, he would go with it. And one of the things that he went with, which was unfortunate for the rest of us, is that we didn't necessarily have air conditioning in this school. So what we had were, you know, fans and shit. In his room, he didn't turn on the fans. And the reason he didn't turn on the fans is because it was his opinion that fanning perspiration will only make you hotter and not cooler, because it's causing the water to evaporate faster, and that water on your body is lowering your temperature. That was his opinion. Is that a true damn thing, or is that a fucking lie? Do you want sweat to stay on you to help cool you, or is the evaporation of sweat what cools you?
Well, I know the answer to that. the evaporation of sweat. It's the actual release of the heat.
Right on. It is the evaporation of sweat that actually causes the heat to release. It's the same thing dealing with your refrigerator. The same process is there. So evaporation, and this is a guy, just fucking brilliant. Okay, this is a guy that he would take these books home. He had books that he would loan out to the students that were these math problems that have not been solved, and the best minds were working on these different math problems. That, you know, the funny rules in math lead to these little paradoxes, lead to these little issues. And this was something he did as a hobby. He was trying to figure out these different things, trying to pull it apart and everything else. So the guy wasn't an idiot. But for whatever reason, he didn't understand that evaporation is what cools the skin, not the retention of that moisture. So pretty wild, pretty cool. Just want to throw off the phone number real quick, 347-989-1371. If you've got anything you were told by your teachers or educators or just any facts whatsoever that you know that a lot of people are considered the truth, that you know based on your research, based on the information you went out and got by yourself is just now why, give us a call. We'd love to hear that shit. So,
put out the number.
What's that?
347. I don't remember you giving out the number. 347-989-1371.
You know what? No, fuck it. We've done over 100 goddamn shows. If they don't know the goddamn phone number by now, then they don't deserve to fucking call in. That's the way it is.
Right. All right. I'm good with that. You know,
dude, we can give out the phone number.
Not to actually change up the subject, but I did realize that I forgot to mention something earlier. The ooze now has a secretary. Orgasmic Chromatic, I hate fucking saying that, Lexi, will be the official secretary for the ooze now. So, Jason, you might actually have to do another caricature. If she
right on. Well, I'll have to dig up some pictures.
Yeah, if she kicks ass, dude. I'm thinking she's got to do at least 100 episodes before she gets her caricature.
Right on. She's got to be around for the hit that century mark before we go ahead and go, okay, she's solid. We'll go ahead and do a character of her.
Yep, there we go. Yeah. There we go.
Okay, here's a fact. Here's something out there, okay, that... When you breathe in oxygen, you oxygenate your blood, and your blood is red. But when the blood goes to the different organs, the different cells, and becomes deoxygenated, the blood turns blue. Thus, you have these blue veins and everything else in your wrists. Okay, so is your blood half the time blue and then half the time red? Is that a true damn thing? And this is some shit the teachers are pushing, okay? These are things the teachers will tell you, that half the time your deoxygenated blood is blue and it's only red when it comes into contact with oxygen. True or false?
That's false.
Let's see what they say in the chat room. Okay, just trying to think while we're waiting on a response and everything else, see what else might be going on here. I can't really fucking think of anything. I'm excited about having this secretary thing though, you know, because that means I don't have to log in. I just tell somebody else to do it. You know, that's awesome. Don't have
right
to
on.
You know, plan it out. Whatever.
Yep, that's
says
it.
True. Org case is true. I can't believe you people say that's true. That blows my mind. Your blood is never blue, ever. Your blood is always red. Deoxygenated blood is actually a darker red, and the oxygenated blood is a lighter red. The deal is that there's iron in your hemoglobin. That's what gives it the red color. It also allows us to carry those oxygen atoms to the different parts of the body. Your blood is never blue. The look of blueness in your veins, it has to do with the way the skin filters the red tone. The flesh filters red out, just like deep sea divers. When, and the deeper you go, the less red you actually, the less of the red spectrum you actually see. So everything that's red shifts to a different color, basically, because of the change in the spectrum. So exactly, it's not blue; it's just darker. It's a darker red. It's more of a, you know, it turns a maroon or whatever. So very cool. I was kind of surprised that that a lot of people. And the thing is these are things that teachers. That's the other thing. These little factoids are all little factoids that I pulled up that teachers have actually expressed to their students without, you know, they hear it from someplace else and assume that it's true, and just put that shit out there to their students. Okay, this is a tough one right here. How about this one? There was a woman in the Civil War who became impregnated by a musket shot. What actually happened is that the musket shot, a freak shot, passed through the scrotum of one of the soldiers on the battlefield, and after passing through his scrotum, went into her womb. She became impregnated by the spermatozoa that was on this musket ball. And she had a baby. And the actual soldier, after the war and everything else, you know, tracked her down because, they figured it out. He had a wounded scrotum. They never found the shot. She had this, you know, this musket ball and, you know, taken out of her. So they kind of knew. They put two and two together when she became pregnant without actually having sex, that she had had, you know, she had a baby. And the guy, you know, got to know her and everything else and eventually married her. Okay, so that's the story. And this story is kind of pushed around to little quirks in history, basically, but also to warn young women of just how little it takes to get pregnant. That, you know, rubbing around can get you pregnant or whatever. So this is a story that lets you know just how easy it is to get pregnant. So that story, though, is that a true damn thing or is that a fucking lie?
Well, knowing that a musket can only fire an object at like 300 miles an hour and assuming that there has to be some distance between the soldier and the woman, even if it's a foot, no, the muzzle's velocity couldn't penetrate the skin completely of the scrotum.
When I'm saying musket, I'm trying to, I may be throwing that off too, because they weren't muskets, they were rifles. So I'm throwing it off. I'm sure I am. Muskets were kind of a civil, a revolutionary weapon, and these are, you know, these were muzzle loading rifles, I guess. But you might be right. I mean, you might, you know, that the trajectory of a bullet, you know, even back then, you know, you get hit in the chest by a bullet, and if there's enough distance, it's not going to hurt you. And these guns weren't firing like the weapons we have today.
Exactly. So I'm saying, plus on top of that, okay, even if it was firing at a trajectory where it could do that, it would be so fucking hot that it would cook the sperm before it had a chance to even touch the wall or lining of the uterus.
That's something. The musket ball is going to come out hot. That could be something. With these rifles, though, we don't know how much force they're putting on those balls, those bullets or whatever. Now, there's a lot of people coming in, you know, going back and forth on this. It looks like most people think that it would be, well, you know what, sperm damage way back when by the impact and everything. That's something else that somebody brought up. Well, that really wasn't a big deal. There was a lot of damaged sperm swimming around there getting people pregnant way back during the Civil War. But this is one of these stories that has been passed around as truth for, you know, since the Civil War, basically. And these are, you know, these are things that are repeated by learned, educated people as true damn things, just to kind of show how quirky nature can be. It is a false story. The person that initiated this story, the start of this urban legend, this rumor, is Dr. Legren Capers, who wrote for the American Medical Journal Weekly, and wrote that back in the 1800s as a prank, just to see, you know, what would happen, how many people would buy into that shit and believe that it's true, okay? So you can blame Dr. Capers for this. I mean, you think you got a doctor writing for a medical journal, it's got to be some true shit. It is not. He admitted that he made the whole fucking thing up. Nobody got pregnant by a shot going through somebody's scrotum into somebody's womb. But you will hear teachers relate the story to their history students, to their sex ed students, trying to make a point. And I guess my point here there is that these teachers often are not themselves fully aware of what it is they're telling their students. you get handed a list of material, or you get handed, you know, or you get told, start sitting around your circle of friends, what's an interesting story, or what isn't, what's interesting truth, or what isn't, and you go with it. So education is very, very politicized, very follows social trends, and that shouldn't be what education is about. Education should be about learning and, you know, facts and, you know, deciding for yourself what's true or what's not. But more often than not, even the educators themselves are swayed by trends and politics and social issues.
Right on.
Well, let's see here. So I'm glad everybody's digging this. If you want to call in with the facts, if you got something you want to talk about, 347-99-1371. If you got a story about a teacher who, and I've been doing research for the show, I read a lot of stories like this, a teacher who laid out some information, and then when the student came back and said, no, here's the proof that what you're saying is false, that, you know, the teacher actually sticks to their guns and goes, no, you're just wrong. That website's wrong. You don't believe everything you're seeing on the internet. It reminds me of anybody who watches Invader Zim. There was an episode, I'm pretty sure it was Invader Zim, where it was either Invader Zim or Yona Vasquez, one of his books, might have been Squee, where where the student, they got a book, they're reading about history, reading about American history, and they're talking about Columbus coming to the shores of the New World in 1424. Okay. That's what it says in the book. And Squee, or the kid in Invader Zim, or whoever it was, is going, wait a second, no, I think it's supposed to be like 1492, okay, that Columbus sailed the Sea of Blue or some shit like that, all right. And he's saying that it's a typo in the book, it's clearly an error. And the teacher goes, no, the book is the facts. If you'll ignore anything else, we only teach to the book. We do not teach to anything else. And it's scary, but it's not an exaggeration of how things are handled in the schools these days. That if the book says X, in order for you to pass the test or to get a certain question right, your answer has to match whatever the answer is in the book, even if the book is wrong.
Right.
Most teachers will go, no, you have to answer the question, what was the material that you were given? And all that's being taught there is that you learn to obey authority, not to think for yourself.
That's very interesting. 1492, huh?
Yeah, I have no idea, man. I wouldn't pay attention to that class. speaking of Columbus, here we'll throw this one out. This is an easy one. Columbus discovered the New World. True or fucking false? We hear it a lot. And at any schools lately, you know, they're making some adjustments to the story. But Columbus discovers the New World. Did Columbus discover the New World? Was he the first one? I mean, this should be an obvious answer to this, right? But I guess, you know, Columbus shows up the New World. First
now that I think about it, this one is one that I think we were figuring out just about the time that I was getting out of high school.
Well, it shows the hypocrisy. It shows the Eurocentricity of our educational system, that there's a certain value set, that Columbus discovered America. No, he didn't. When he got here, there were fucking people here. You can't discover something and that people are already there, you know? So we got the Native Americans here, but yeah, now you got, you know that Columbus probably wasn't the first European to arrive here either. It was more likely some Viking dudes. There's evidence of even, I guess, settlements. And the other talk, this is the fucked up thing about this. The idea that there were Viking settlements in the New World, in North America, while what you're saying, man, is that when we started to get out of high school, this is the information we were being told. But we were being told this information like it was a new damn fucking thing. Like the archaeologists or whatever started just discovering this shit. Well, when you go up north to Canada, along the coast, the Canadians up along the coast will tell you, no, man, that's been part of the deal. They've known about this for centuries that the Vikings were here.
Right on.
So it looks like we got a caller. Let's see here. All right. So bring the caller on. Bring the caller on. Why is it not working? There we go. 619 area code. You are on the Ooze. What's on your brain, man?
Hey, gentlemen. This is Zach Coffin. How you guys doing?
What's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey, I got a funny story for you guys about something. You know, it's not necessarily a fact that was presented or a lie that was presented as a fact, but it was rather a fact that had been omitted from my education as far as history goes. I was not aware that Canada came down and burnt down the White House until about a year ago. I got into an argument with a guy on YouTube and told him he was full of shit. And he looked at me and goes, no, you're an idiot. And then I went and I Googled it. I'm like, what the fuck? How did this get omitted from my history lessons in school? Like, we were never told this in our American history. I mean, at least not on a rudimentary level, like on a high school level. I never knew that shit. I mean, that's kind of an important fact, don't you think?
Well, you're saying during the War of 1812, the British that came down to Virginia or whatever to burn down the White House actually had come from Canada. Is that right?
I didn't hear that it was British people. I heard that it was Canadians that actually marched down, and it may have been around that time.
When did Canada become its own country?
It's very possible that I was just really stoned that day and forgot that fact. But
Let's look it up. Canadian.
The other thing is, I had this English teacher in eighth grade. This English teacher, and she was supposed to teach us English, but she was like this new age, like mystic. Like, she called herself a witch. And she would hold up flashcards and send us psychic, you know, telepathic messages with these flashcards. And we had to write if there was a star, a circle, a square, a slash, or a check mark. And that's kind of what our English lesson consisted of in the eighth grade, was her ESP tricks.
Right on. It's like, it's like the test on Ghostbusters, right?
What's that?
It's a test on Ghostbusters where Binkman's got this hottie college chick in one chair and this geek in another chair, and they're both hooked up to electrodes. And he's holding up a card and going, what am I looking at, right? And when you got it wrong, you got a shock. Well, he kept jolting the geek and telling the chick that she was getting it right without showing her the picture. He's trying to get her fan. So on the Canadian thing, Canada became separate from the British Empire July 1st, 1867. So it is possible that the troops that came to the U.S. to burn down the White House were British soldiers coming from the Canadian territory.
Ah, okay. So the Canadians just take, just kind of ride the coattails in and say that it were Canadians, but it actually probably wasn't Canadians. It was probably British walking through the back door, huh?
Right. Well, they were the British. They would have been British soldiers, but they would have, you know, been in Canada. Same with the French American, the French and Indian War. Those were British soldiers, but it's like those British soldiers were us. I want to say that Washington was involved in the French and Indian War. So, it sounds right. It sounds right to me. That's probably what was going on. Oh, somebody. Exactly. So that sounds right, man.
Got it.
I got a comment on here. Wicked Puff, Amerigo Vespucci theorized that there was another land over here. Amerigo may have theorized that. Amerigo is who he named America, the country of the continent, America. He's the one who actually became that provided that name. My understanding is that he was a cartographer. He drew the map. And what cartographers would do back in the day is they would sign their maps when they drew this shit. I mean, it's a piece of artwork. And Amerigo signed the map over the North American continent or something of that nature, or right around those continents. So when these maps were taken over to back to Italy or Spain, they just started calling the New World America, or America is eventually what happened. So that's my understanding of that story.
Are we going to have to fact check that?
We can fact check that. That's the story I'm hearing. That's the story I've heard. I don't have any information on that Americo was a cartographer, and that his name became associated with the New World because of, you know, he drew the map. So that's my understanding anyways.
You know, it's really messed
story,
up.
I'm sticking to it.
What's really messed up is how unstable our actual knowledge of history is, if you really sit and think about it.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. If you want to think about ways you've been fucked with as a student, studying, you know, history, studying politics and everything else, speaking of maps, if you look at a world map today, are you looking at an accurate depiction or even an approximate depiction of the sizes of countries in comparison to one another? Especially looking at the United States. If you're a citizen of the U.S., when you look at a U.S. map, and the U.S. in size compared to Mexico, compared to South America, compared to Europe, the U.S. in size, are you looking at a fairly accurate depiction of the United States? Is that map a true damn thing, or is that a fucking lie?
Is it scale? No.
Is it even an approximate? Not scale. I'm not looking for exactness. I'm just looking for an approximate. Do you think that the U.S., when you're looking at a U.S. map, the U.S. on that map, is that the approximate size in relative comparison to the other countries around it? Is that at approximately what it should be?
No. No, I think it's overscaled majorly.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a political trick to make the make people think that the U.S. is larger and more powerful than it actually is, that to make it stand out more. That we now have I forget what the word is for it, but basically, I mean, we have satellite technology and everything else. We know we can put together a map that shows, you know, the actual geographic sizes of different countries, of different bodies of land, of different bodies of water and everything else. And the United States is pretty fucking small, especially compared to its neighbors, especially compared to Canada and, you know, the countries in South America and stuff like that. I mean, Alaska is pretty big in relative to the U.S. and everything else, just by itself. So, yeah, maps, and see, I get it. Wikipops is saying that flat maps are scaled differently. And I understand that with a flat map, when you're making a flat map of a globe, you have to scale things differently. But the U.S. has been scaled differently intentionally to make it seem larger than it really is as a politically motivated agenda. If you look at a map of the world that originates in some other country, you'll see that same shit. You'll see the same thing in Germany. If you have a German map of the world that didn't originate in the U.S., a German map of the world will show Germany just a little bit bigger than everything else than it should be, and the U.S. will look pretty close to where it actually is as far as that relative size.
Right. And what's actually kind of interesting, and how I know this, is because of the amount of time that it would take to travel when I was going over to China. You know, from here, what am I looking at? Maybe a 5-hour flight to get to California with a layover?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the length of the entire country, right? I could go 12 hours and only get 3/4 of the way into China in any one direction.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if you look at them on a globe or even on a flat map, if you look at them, it looks to be approximately about the same size as the U.S.
Right, right. And that's the thing. Look at a globe. I mean, we're talking about different maps and everything. If you look at a globe, if a globe originated in the U.S., and it's especially a globe that's supposed to be used in schools, you will see that the U.S. is disproportionate in size relative to the other countries around it, that it's made to appear larger. Think about it this way, that in a globe, a lot of globes that you see, you'll see on that globe all the states, all 50 states are present on that globe, okay? Even if it was really tiny to get Rhode Island in there or whatever, all 50 states are present on that globe. But then if you look at the size of Mexico, Mexico is made up of a number of different states. You won't see that shit.
Right on, right on. I agree.
So let's see here. Let me pull out another little factoid. Everybody knows you won't die from smoking pot, but we've been told that shit in schools. George Washington, founder of president, of course, he wasn't the first president in the New World, but he was the first president of the United States. Look that shit up. There was a president of our colonies before George Washington. But George Washington, the story about the cherry tree, chopping down that shit, we already know that it wasn't him. You know, he was willing to let the lie be told, even if he wasn't willing to tell the lie himself. George Washington, interesting fact about George Washington, he did not wear a wig. He was not into that fashion when that was big going on. Everybody else was wearing wigs. He did not, but he would have his hair powdered white. A common factoid about George Washington, though, is that he had wooden teeth. And George Washington had teeth problems all his life. And that he had wooden teeth made of wood. His dentures, were they made of wood? True or false? And they told that in school, that George Washington had wooden teeth. Is that a true damn thing, or is that a lie?
Very accurate, kid!
They're putting it together on I hope you masters aren't Googling this shit as I roll it out and everything else. I'm giving you time. I know I'm giving you time. You can Google this to see if see what's true and what's false. But
maybe your future
with the X-Men isn't so rotten after all. Jack, I want to
know what that background noise is. Oh, it's let me see. Futurama.
Futurama. Well, Futurama rocks. You people don't complain about Futurama. Look, you're getting two shows in one.
Right on.
All right. They're Googling it and shit. He had ivory teeth. Sarah Duffy is right. Washington never had wooden teeth. He had ivory teeth. Now, the man had some teeth issues. May have been related to some of the different medications he was taking, some harsh chemicals that Washington was on. Washington was a pretty grumpy dude, from what I understand. And I think by the time he got to the presidency, he only had one tooth that was his, he actually called his own. The rest of his choppers were fucking ivory, elephant or hippo or whatever, ivory and everything else. But Washington did not have wooden teeth, as we were told. By our educators, historians. Again, but it was trendy to come up to rattle that out for whatever reason. It was trendy to say that, you know, Washington had wooden teeth. And again, it's just that if you've got kids in school right now, you need to sit down with your kids and talk to them about what it is they're being told, what it is that they're learning. Because even at the, I remember when my girls were in the, you know, first grade, second grade, I remember them coming home and telling me some shit, and it just blew my mind. And, you know, we got on it. We broke out some books. We fact-checked and everything else. And it was like, no, this isn't true. Now, my kids had to learn that, you know, when you're told that something isn't true, it's not necessarily a good idea. Or when you're told some bullshit by your teacher, it's not necessarily a good idea to step up and go, you're fucking wrong, lady. Okay? It's often better just to get through the class. Understand that you're doing a class just to get through it. But that, you know, you need to think for yourself. You need to do your own thinking, your own kind of shit. So, let's take a look here. All right.
What else? All
right.
Yeah, no. No, we only got 11 minutes left, man. I don't think they're calling tonight, man. The thing of it is,
okay.
I think they're more ignorant about this shit than we are, which is not necessarily their fault. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's right. It's just the way people are educated and everything else. I got one right here. Eskimos. All right. When you were being told or taught about Eskimos, we've been told that they rub their noses together to kiss instead of actually pressing lips together. I can tell you that's bullshit. One of the things though that I've been told about Eskimos is that they have 30 or more words for snow. And if you think about it, it makes sense. They got all kinds of fucking snow up there. How many different ways are they going to talk about it? So Eskimos, the Eskimo language, are there just a shitload of words for snow? Let's not put a number on it. Let's just say, is it true that Eskimos have a whole bunch of words for snow? Is that a true damn thing, something that your teacher told you? Were they telling you the truth, or is that a fucking lie?
I smell horseshit.
It's all horseshit, okay. Here's an interesting fact while we're talking about this. What's the only state in the union that doesn't have houseflies?
That doesn't have houseflies?
That's right.
Texas.
No, we got big ass houseflies here, man. They'll carry your kids away.
Right on. Honestly, I don't know.
It's Alaska, dude. It's too damn cold in Alaska for houseflies.
Well, yeah, I always forget that that counts as a state, even though we were just talking about it.
Right.
Well, here's something I want to know. Is Puerto Rico a state yet or what?
Not yet. They keep voting it down. They get close. Every time they go, they get close. There's like they want a simple majority or something like that, or they have to have 60%. They get close. But they never get enough to vote. And my thing is, if you were Puerto Rico, why would you want to be a state? You know, why would you want to have to pay in with state taxes and all that other bullshit? You know, why would you want to be a part of this government? So, okay, and 30 more words for fucking, or bullshit load of words for snow. It's bullshit. If you get told that the Eskimo language has a whole bunch of words for snow, it's a fucking lie, because there is no Eskimo language. The Inuit tribes, the Inuit group of languages, there's only a few different languages, and we actually, in English, have more words for water, bodies of water, way water moves, different types of water and everything else, than the Inuit languages combined have for snow.
Interesting.
Okay. We got a question here for ETC. That he occasionally has vaginal sex and not strictly anal sex. Is that a three-half thing, or are you strictly anal?
Interesting.
Yeah, you know what? He's got a kid, ladies and gentlemen. What does that tell you? There we go. Zach's going, he's got a kid. There we go. So we got about 8 minutes left. If I'm looking, 7 minutes left. I'm tired of this already. I thought it'd be a good idea, guys. I'm sorry if this show sucked. This is all me. This trivia and everything else. What's that?
I said real quick. I think that they should Google that question, because I almost bet that if you Google it, you will find the answer.
So there's your homework. Google PC, strictly anal or occasionally vaginal?
I'm saying, and the reason I say this is because Zach says this so much that it has to be all over the internet by now.
It's got to be Googleable. It'll be there. The answer will be there.
That's what I'm saying.
I guess right along with the whole fucking... The jumper cables and car batteries as a sexual pleasure implement in the Sorrell household, that'll probably be there as well.
Yeah, probably.
Whether that's a true damn thing or not.
I'm sure if you Googled if I like midgets or not, you'd come across some things, you know?
Right. So, well, we only got a few minutes left. Let's talk about the outbreak for next week real quick. So I got an idea, and I don't know how well it's going to go over, and I guess I got to email it now to our secretary. But my thoughts were that every once in a while we kind of spin off into Satanism and unification and getting some shit together and talking about agendas and things like that. What I thought was kind of cool is spending an hour of talking about, first of all, coming up with a list of the actual players in this kind of discussion, this kind of movement, that, you know, here's a group of people, these different people that have been talking about unity or some sort of agenda or something like that, people that are actually doing shit and trying to make something happen, coming up with a list. And then going through the list of people and kind of going, okay, but this guy is, you know, this person's a flake. This person's philosophy is way off base. this person's worth talking to, that person's worth talking to, that kind of thing. And maybe even discussing what sort of agenda that we'd be talking about, like what kind of goals, once we, if we were to bring all these heads together, what kind of things it would be that we would be trying to accomplish. And anybody that would want to call in and just naysay the whole Satanist unity thing, anybody that would want to step up and just go, hey, it's not going to happen, so why even talk about it? Well, we're not talking to you. That would be my thing with that. That, if Dandred wants to call in and go, why are you guys even bothering and everything else? I know it scares him, the whole idea of Satanists going, it'd be better to work together than try to work separately. That shit scares the shit out of him. So when he calls in, we just ignore him. We're not interested in hearing from him. We're interested in hearing from people that like the idea of there may be being some sort of agenda and something that we do as a movement rather than the shit we normally do, basically bitching at each other and not accomplishing anything.
You know what that means to me? That means that there should be at least 1,200 fucking people that are here live next week on this show. Because there are 1,200 people that participate. Well, not participate, but not all of them participate. But for the most part, they have participated, registered for Satanic International Network, which means that they're already coming together to try to gain some kind of benefit. So why not talk about what the benefit of coming together might be,
Yeah, that's what blows my mind about people like, Dandre is a smart guy, I'll give him that and everything else, but that's what blows my mind about people like him, that, there's no purpose in coming together, there's no purpose in trying to do anything together. Well, then what the fuck, why am I even hearing from you? Why do I even know you exist? Because you're not interested in doing anything with anybody, so why the fuck are you here?
Sure. It's kind of like going out on the playground and then refusing to play.
Right. And not only that, but bitching at other people about playing. What the fuck are you doing in that sandbox?
Right. That's exactly what it is. It's so interesting because I've said it a million times on this show that as long as you don't say satanic unity, there is unity in Satanism. But the second you throw that fucking flashlight up on it, the fucking cockroaches scatter,
Well, I thought, and this is just, I don't think anybody here is interested. Well, that's a lie. We are interested in having some sort of agenda or whatever, but I don't think anybody here has necessarily an agenda in mind. I think it would just be interesting, just as kind of a thought experiment. To come up with a list of names of people that, are out there doing shit. And I'll have a list by next week, so you count on that. And I'll have some people that are thumbs up and thumbs down, some obvious losers, some obvious winners, that kind of thing. But then going, these are different people that are out there that are doing something, and what's the likelihood of them wanting to be involved in a process where there are more players involved, there's a coordinated effort. And then what would that look like? What is it we'd be moving towards? So I think it could be a fun hour.
You know what's interesting to me is the number of actual Freemasons there were prior to the Revolutionary War, and the comparison to the actual number of Satanists just in the continental USA alone. It's almost comparative to the population that was then to the population that is now. And the Masons were able to actually change the continental U.S. So,
right on.
I mean, I think a well-known fact at this point that two-thirds of the founding fathers of the United States Constitution were public, open Freemasons.
Yeah.
So, it just shows what little bit of effort it really takes to make big changes.
Well, I think that's something we've talked about that you and I have talked about for years, that the difference between a small group of people getting together and trying to do something and everybody else is that everybody else isn't trying to do shit. Yeah, there's 300 million people in the United States or whatever. But you get enough people, a small group of people who are actually actively doing something together, they can put up some resistance because the other people just don't care, are apathetic. So you could make some shit happen.
Right on. Well, time's up, guys, so we'll talk to everybody next week.
Right on. Later.
Thank you for listening to the Ubers. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but it's the old expression goes. Tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ubers is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?